In this season, we read a lot of from John, and we're going right through the first letter. And we're in the first letter. We're in chapter 2 and starting chapter 3. See, if you consider that God is righteous, God is just, you see, you also know that everyone who acts in righteousness is begotten by him. In other words, if God did not give us his life, we could not act in an upright way. It's because we have divine life in us. And therefore, he goes on to say, you see, because we have divine life, we're children of God. And that's why he says, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. Yet so we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. I hope the world doesn't know us. That is, knows what makes us tick. Because we have to preach to this world. We have to let them know who God is and what he's done for us. And what the future is for every one of us, huh? To be with God forever or to not be with God forever. And those are the issues. And so, you see, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will know him totally. Because the divine life in us, the very depth of our being, we're held in existence, body and soul, by the divine life forever. And so we know God and rejoice in him forever. Everyone who has this hope based on God makes himself pure as he is pure. That's the motive. You see, of course, doesn't hurt to think once in a while, if I do that and I die, I'll go to hell. I mean, that can be helpful. But what we're looking forward to is to be with God forever. And that's been given to us by the blood of Christ. And that's why it says, you see, everyone who has this hope. When was the last time you thought about heaven? You know, where am I going? Well, one of these days I'm going to die. And then what? The Holy Spirit can teach us to so yearn for heaven that we do keep ourselves pure. We do keep ourselves from sin. You see? Everyone who has this hope based on him, not me, makes himself pure as he is pure. However, everyone who commits sin commits lawlessness, breaking the will of God. For sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and that revelation is most glorious in the act of love in which he died for us. And so, yet in him there is no sin. No one who remains in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or known him. This is John telling us we have been given an unimaginable treasure. We share in the very life of God now. Now, it's, you know, it isn't a pure vision because a lot of the energy of our soul is taken up in keeping this body alive. And that's why people fast, so that their minds can be clearer. The whole effort of the soul doesn't have to be on keeping us alive. It ought to be on searching for God. And so that's what he says. And no one who remains in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or known him. How many people in this world right now have never known him? And that's why we pray. That's why we preach. That's why we evangelize. Because people don't know him. And Satan has a way of engineering a culture so that it's forgotten. And we're a good example in this country. And then John is the witness. John the Baptist. And so in this period of the year, we as we're going through John's gospel, we learn so much about Jesus through the witness of John the Baptist. The Baptist saw Jesus coming and said, "Behold the Lamb of God," already telling us about his sacrificial life. He's the Lamb. He's the Paschal Lamb. That's why, see, he celebrated that liturgy, that Eucharist, with his own, and then he replaced the Paschal Lamb. Not just saving us from Egypt, but from eternal death. And I didn't know him. But the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, "On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." There are perhaps 8 prophecies in the Old Testament about the Spirit being poured out. It's one of the ways, one of the most familiar ways, that the Scriptures, the Old Testament, speak of how God is going to totally fulfill all that he promised. He's going to pour out the Spirit. So many texts. And Paul, John is saying here, I'm the one in my gestures. I am preparing you and I'm giving you an audio-visual aid of what will happen when the Lord rises from the dead. You will receive the Holy Spirit. God's own Spirit will dwell in you. And so that's why in this Christmas season still, that's that way until the Epiphany. That's when Christmas season ends. The church wants us to stop and think of the gifts we've been given. Divine life, this Eucharist.